I'm Amra Nani from the University of Padova. I'm a postdoc and a part of an ERC project called STAR-KEY. The PI is Paola Marigo. And this is about constraining dust properties in carbon stars in the Small Magellanic Cloud. And in particular, we focus about constraining the optical constants and grain size of carbon dust. Okay, the general goal of the STAR-KEY project is to calibrate the uncertainties affecting the TPAGB phase, in particular mass loss, third dredge up, and so on. And another goal is to reproduce and interpret the observation of resource stellar population, so in terms of color-color diagrams and color-magnitude diagrams, and this can be simulated with the cold trilegal. The first step that I will tell you about in this talk was to reproduce several colors simultaneously employing the stellar tracks in order, and this can put constraint on carbon dust, as I will show you. This is based on a paper that just came out, so it's now available in the archive. So we started with the Small Magellanic Cloud because we have plenty of data and we have a lot of carbon-rich stars as well. So here I just plotted two examples of color-color diagrams. So we have the J minus K versus 3.6 minus 8 and J minus K versus K minus 8. And we have that most of the most extreme and dust enshrouded stars are actually carbon-rich. And we focus in particular on carbon dust produced in these circumstellar envelopes because carbon dust is the one that is mostly affecting the spectral energy distribution of these stars. And so it's mostly affecting the color-color diagrams as well. Okay, the method that we employed was to compute the dust growth in this in the circumstellar envelopes of these stars and couple the outcome of this code with a radiative transfer. And as the property of the stars are changing along the TPAGB tracks, we compute this for all the input stellar parameters that are changing along the stellar tracks. We compare with the observation in the near and mirror bands for the large number of stars I was showing you before. So the novelty of this work is that we succeeded in constraining dust properties employing the TPAGB tracks and consistent dust formation model. So the novelty is that we employed these tracks in order to make constraints on the dust properties. And I just will tell you something about the model. So we have that the stellar tracks are computed with the parsec that actually is computing the evolutionary tracks from the pre-main sequence up to the first thermal pulse, and then the TPAGB phase is instead followed by the colibri code. And through this code that is very flexible because we can compute the TPAGB phase for several masses, metallicity, and also employing different prescriptions for instance, the mass loss rate and the third dredge up that are parameterized description. We can follow the evolution of the important stellar quantities like silver ratio, effective temperature, luminosity, mass loss rate as a function of time. And this is the time elapsed since the beginning of the TPAGB phase and for different initial masses and, of course, also different metallicity. And so we can see which stars are becoming carbon-rich. So when the silver ratio is greater than one, here you see, and we have that a lot of physics is included in these TPAGB tracks because in particular very important is on-the-fly computation of the thermomolecular chemistry and opacity. And this is very important because it is actually affecting the evolution of the effective temperature of the star, in particular when you go from an M star to a C star, we have that the effective temperatures tend to decrease due to the effect of the molecular opacity. We have that the hot proton burning phase is followed with nucleosynthesis and the energetics is fully taken into account, so there is no synthetic formalism in this. So for the calibration of the dust properties, we employed the typical mass and metallicities of the SMC. So we selected masses between 1.4 stellar masses and 3, and metallicity between 2000 and 6000. So as far as the dust formation model is concerned, we have that we take as input the quantities coming from these TPAGB tracks, and so we take the atmospheric mass, effective temperature, stellar luminosity, mass loss, element abundances in the atmosphere, and what we get from this code is actually the characterization of the circumstellar envelopes in terms of dust composition. So we can include several dust species, even if we just focus on carbon dust, mass loss in dust, the final outflow velocity, grain sizes, dust ejecta, dust to gas ratio, and coupling with the radiative transfer code, we can get the spectra and of course the colors. Of course, this model has some limits because it's a stationary wind model, but for this purpose was working well. So this is an example of what you get as an output. You have the size as a function of the time elapsed since the beginning of the TPAGB phase, and here you have that. Here we have the where the star is an M stars, so we have the silicates that are formed, and here instead we have the C phase, so we have silicon carbide and amorphous carbon dust. Here we have the dust to gas ratio in terms of silicates, carbon dust produced, silicon carbide, and here is an example of one spectrum that we obtain by coupling the output of this dust formation code with the radiative transfer code, more of dusty, by Martin Groenewegen. And the stellar spectra are taken from the Comarques grid of model. Okay. Other assumption underlying the models is that the grains are spherically symmetric. So we have spherical grains, and okay, this is of course an assumption. We have that there are several optical data sets for amorphous carbon dust available in the literature, and we cannot really tell a priori which one is the best to use, but so we need to test these optical data sets and find the best one that can reproduce the observation. Here I put a list of the optical data sets available in the literature, so there are several. And we have that a free model parameter is the number of initial particle of seed particle available in the circumstellar envelope. And this is usually taken as an adjustable parameter of the model. And we set it to be proportional to the carbon axis, so more carbon we have and a larger number of initial particles are available. And when we choose the initial number of particles, we have that the final grain size is does not change much with as a function of the other stellar parameters. So here I just put as an example the final grain size as a function of the mass loss rate. This changing a lot during the TPAGB phase, and for any choice of the initial number of seeds, I get that the final grain size are pretty constant. So as far as the optical constants are concerned, we have that. I show you that several options for the optical constant are available, and they differ a lot one from the other. So here I just put the absorption coefficient as a function of the wavelength for different choices of the optical data set available and for a given grain size of 0.1 micron. And you can see that, I mean, these optical data sets are quite different one from each other. And here instead, I plotted the same. So absorption coefficient versus the wavelength for one given choice of the optical data set available, but for different grain size. So we have these two combined effects, and this is what is happening to the spectra. So you can see that for a dust and shroud star with the optical depth at 1 micron, about 10, and these grain size and the spectra are changing a lot if we change optical data set. And on the other hand, if for the same optical data set, the spectra are look quite different if we change the typical grain size. This is the comparison with the dust-free spectra. So this is, to make you better appreciate this effect, I just plot the J minus K colors versus the grain size as a function of the grain size for different choices of the optical data set. And what you can see is that there is a lot of change as a function of the grain size for a given choice of the optical data set. And there is also a lot of difference for a given grain size among different choices of the optical data set. So we really need to constrain the combination of optical data set and grain size that can best reproduce the observation that give us a better agreement with observations. And this is really needed, I think. And this is why we want to reproduce several colors simultaneously. Here I plot J minus K versus J minus 3.6. And the red and green one are observations. And these blue dots are the average of the observations in different J minus K, for different J minus K beams. So we divided the J minus K range for the observed stars in 5 beams, and we computed the average value. And I overplotted the models coming from the stellar tracks for this combination of optical data set and grain size. And here you can see that for this color diagram, it might look that the trend is well reproduced, but if you look at these other color diagrams, the J minus K versus the 3.6 minus 8, you actually find that we are out of the correlation observed. So we really need to reproduce simultaneously, not enough just to reproduce one color diagram alone. So how we did this, the idea is pretty simple. We select all these colors here, so we have colors in the near and mirror bands, and an observed star will occupy a given position in the space of parameters provided by by these colors. And for each, we divided the J minus K interval in 5 beams, and we computed the average value of the observed stars, and we compute the deviation of the models from this average value normalized for the scatter of the observations. So this is done for each of these colors and for each of the beam in J minus K that were chose to be 5. And we can compute the global deviation for all the colors by a simple average. And we can also have these other quantities that is the average for all the beams, for all the 5 beams. And these are the final results. So here I plot the average deviation for all the colors and the beams as a function of the grain size and for the different choices of the optical data sets. So you can see that there are some optical data sets that are never able to reproduce to have a good agreement with the observation. On the other hand, for the one that can work well for rather small grain size here, we have that the deviation is increasing, tends to increase for larger grain size. So generally we find larger deviation for grain size is equal or above 0.2 microns, and a good agreement below the specific value of this size depend, of course, on the optical constant that you select. And so we find that observations are better reproduced with small grains, so between 0.04 microns and 0.1 microns. And this value, 0.1 microns, is in fair good agreement with also hydrodynamical simulation that are much more detailed and in which also nucleation is included. We finally find also a possible trend between the final grain size and the mass loss rate or carbon excess. How did we find this? So here I plotted the deviation as a function of the J minus K, that is this quantity here that I showed you before, for a given choice for an optical data set that was fairly working well. So we have that around 0.1 micron. This is working pretty well in all the J for all the values of J minus K. Instead, for the last very last point, so for the red star, we find a better agreement if we decrease the number of the final grain size. So this might suggest, and it's just a suggestion, that we can have smaller grains for red stars, so higher mass substrate or carbon axis and or carbon axis. These are examples of color diagrams that are actually given have a good correlation with the observations, and as you can see, we can select different optical data sets, but the grain sizes are always below or equal to 0.1 microns. And future work, we would like to extend the calibration to other spectral types, so for M-stars, and to other metallicities, so employing other galaxies. And the final goal, and what we would like to do also, is to make this calibration also employing complete simulation of stellar population. And that's all.
Thank you very much, Amber. Questions? We have some time. Not many questions. Is everyone hungry? Or? Can I, a quick question?
Yeah.
So, all these optical constants, they are all doing fine, basically, for the
some of
small
them
grains.
Are not doing fine, but okay. I found that two of them in particular are not working that well. But the interesting fact, I think, that is also that if you select the one that are working, that are okay, you can really tell that for any of them, if you increase the grain size, you get a worse agreement with the observation. So
in all cases, the large grains are not very well.
If under these assumptions, larger grains are worse. The agreement is worse for larger grains. Yeah.
So do you have any advice on which ones not to use or to use? Or We should look at your plot, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So you don't need to say it aloud. All right, thanks. Let's thank all the speakers again, and then Pierre has a